A reading from the letter of St. Paul to the Philippians. Brothers and sisters, we are the circumcision, we who worship through the Spirit of God, who boast in Christ Jesus and do not put our confidence in flesh, although I myself had grounds for confidence even in the flesh. If anyone else thinks he can be confident in flesh, all the more can I. Circumcised on the eighth day, of the race of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrew parentage. In observance of the law of Pharisee, in zeal I persecuted the church, in righteousness based on the law, I was blameless. But whatever gains I had, these I have come to consider a loss because of Christ. More than that, I even consider everything as a loss because of the supreme good of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. Verbum Domini. Let hearts rejoice who search for the Lord.
Let hearts rejoice who search for the Lord.
Sing to him, sing his praise, proclaim all his wondrous deeds, glory in his holy name. Rejoice, O hearts that seek the Lord. Look to the Lord in his strength. Seek to serve him constantly. Recall the wondrous deeds that he has wrought, his portents, and the judgments he has uttered. You descendants of Abraham, his servants, sons of Jacob, his chosen ones, he, the Lord, is our God. Throughout the earth, his judgments prevail.
Let
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord.
The tax collectors and sinners were all drawing near to listen to Jesus. But the Pharisees and scribes began to complain, saying, "This man welcomes sinners and eats with them." So Jesus addressed this parable to them. What man among you, having 100 sheep and losing one of them, would not leave the 99 in the desert and go after the lost one until he finds it? And when he does find it, he sets it on his shoulders with great joy. And upon his arrival home, he calls together his friends and neighbors and says to them, "Rejoice with me, because I have found my lost sheep." I tell you, in just the same way, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous people who have no need of repentance. Or what woman, having 10 coins and losing one, would not light a lamp and sweep the house, searching carefully until she finds it? And when she does find it, she calls together her friends and neighbors and says to them, "Rejoice with me, because I have found the coin that I lost." In just the same way, I tell you, there will be rejoicing among the angels of God over one sinner who repents. The Gospel of the Lord. My brothers and sisters, it's good to be here. Father Joseph, thank you for inviting me. And Monsignor, pleasure to meet you, and thank you for being here as well. So the readings from today brought to my mind at least a thought that I think perhaps maybe most of us have had or read or seen or even experienced personally great examples of love and sacrifice of love between spouses and parents and children, between relatives or friends. We often have heard of one spouse giving up career and their personal life and time to care for a sick or disabled spouse. We've often seen on television ads where there are children who are sick with cancer or who are ill or disabled in some way, and the great love and care and sacrifices made by their parents to care for their sick child. And I would suspect that many of us have had the experience of caring for parents or relatives as they grow old, and we see and watch as their health and their mental capacities diminish over time. Such stories of lived experiences of love can show to us the immense power of this love to conquer and to prevail even in the most adverse of circumstances. We might say that when all seems lost, there is often only the power of love to assist us. I think that is what we see when we see these types of examples, that we see a glimpse of the immense and the indescribable love of God for us, his children. And we hear that in a very special way in our readings this morning. The gospel reading from the 15th chapter of St. Luke has two of the three parables that make up that entire chapter of St. Luke's Gospel. And if your Bible is like mine, there are often subject headings in the Bible that we read that indicate what the Gospel passages might be about. You know, you open up your Bible and you see headings like the birth of Jesus, or the Sermon on the Mount, or the Last Supper, or Jesus heals the blind man, etc. It often gives us a clue as to what we're going to read next in our Bible as we go forward. But if you look at this chapter from the Gospel of St. Luke, and you look at your Bible that has those headings, there are three headings for each of the parables that are in this chapter of St. Luke. The first one is the lost sheep. The second one, the lost coin. And the last parable, which we are not reading today but is in the Gospel, is the parable of the prodigal son, the lost son. So what is the common idea that Jesus is trying to teach his disciples and is trying to teach us as he gives us these parables and his teachings today? Well, I think primarily his teaching is one that tells us that nothing and no one is ever lost to God our Father. And the reason that the shepherd leaves the 99, he leaves the flock to search for that lost sheep, the reason the woman lights the lamp and continues to sweep and search her house carefully for that lost coin is very simple. The lost sheep is of immense value to the shepherd, and the lost coin is a precious possession of the woman. And so is God the Father, who is represented by the shepherd and by the searching woman in these parables, because God our Father never gives up wanting to have his most important things with him. And his most important things, his most cherished things, are you and me, his daughters and sons, created in his image and likeness. And so we are that lost sheep. We are that lost coin. And God loves us so much and values us so much that he will never tire of looking for us. He never tires of coming to us. He never tires of seeking us out so that we may experience his immense love and his indescribable mercy. As I was reading the readings for today and thinking about them, praying about them, Two things came to my mind as I read these scripture passages. It was the miracle of St. Paul's conversion and some words from the recent encyclical from Pope Francis about the Sacred Heart of Jesus. We heard in that first reading that Paul persecuted the church. He would physically arrest and imprison those who believed in Jesus. He was mean, and he certainly seemed lost. And he was also someone who was to be feared greatly because of the persecutions and the sufferings that he caused the early Christians. And yet this is what St. Paul wrote to St. Timothy in his first letter. I want to read to you from the first letter of St. Paul to Timothy, chapter 1, verse 12. St. Paul writes, "I thank him who has given me strength for this, Christ Jesus our Lord, because he judged me faithful by appointing me to his service, though I formerly blasphemed and persecuted and insulted him. But I received mercy because I had acted ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord overflowed for me with faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. This saying is sure and worthy of full acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And I am the foremost of sinners, but I received mercy for this reason, that in me as the foremost, Jesus Christ might display his perfect patience for an example to those who were to believe in him for eternal life." So as St. Paul told St. Timothy, he's reminding him that God, who is love, is so amazing and so generous in giving us his mercy. So why? Why is God so good to us? Why is God good to us even when we sin, even when we stray, even when we turn our backs to him and commit mortal sins? God does not abandon us. He doesn't leave us alone. And I was drawn to the opening passages of Pope Francis's encyclical, his recent encyclical on the human and divine heart of Jesus Christ. He wrote this in his first paragraph. Pope Francis wrote, "He loved us," St. Paul says of Christ, "in order to make us realize that nothing can ever separate us from that love." Paul could say this with certainty, because Jesus himself had told his disciples, "I have loved you." Even now, the Lord says to us, "I have called you friends." His open heart has gone before us and waits for us unconditionally, asking only to offer us his love and his friendship. For he loved us first. Because of Jesus, we have come to know and believe in the love that God has for us. So my brothers and sisters, as we celebrate this Mass this morning, we can recall to mind the lost sheep, the lost coin, the lost son, and we often are his lost children. But we are never to despair, we are never to give up hope, and none of us are ever to believe that God has abandoned us. No, God loves us, and we are never lost, because as St. Paul says of Christ, he loved us.